News, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. President Trump has now granted Mexico and Canada a brief reprieve from tariffs. Weijia Jiang is at the White House.
The president wants to handle these negotiations, and he has left room for movement, which is why we have seen that pause yesterday and then another one today. What we don't know is whether more pauses will come, but the White House has made abundantly clear that he is all in when it comes to tariffs.
Canada's Prime Minister Trudeau says he welcomes the pause, but Canada's retaliatory tariffs will remain in place. All this back and forth is confusing for companies and consumers. CBS business contributor Javier David.
We're looking at like a lot of policy whiplash and sort of these decisions being made by fiat, and it makes it really hard both for companies to decide what they're going to charge consumers and B, what consumers can expect. There's more than likely going to be some sort of price hike, and they're not prepared for it.
CBS News special report.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Daylight Savings Time starts this weekend. It happens on Sunday at 2 a.m. Brittany Merlot tells us more.
We spring forward and move the clocks 1 hour ahead. While that means extra light in the evening, it also means losing an hour of sleep. Doctors say children and teens are especially prone to health impacts of getting less sleep. And sleep's important for kids because it helps them learn in school, manage their emotions, and have faster response times. So families should plan ahead now. Adjust bedtime. Make it about 15 minutes earlier every day before the actual time changes.
The latest Marquette University Law School poll of Wisconsin voters finds divided views on President Donald Trump and billionaire Elon Musk. Trump's approval rating is at 48% approve to 51% disapprove among Wisconsin voters. This figure is slightly higher than when Trump first occupied the White House 8 years ago. In the March 2017 poll, Trump's approval was at 41% as compared to 47% disapprove. In this year's poll, Trump's support is worse with independents, where he polled with net positive ratings in 2017, but net negative ratings now. Charles Franklin, head of the Marquette poll.
The way the coalitions are split, the way the parties are aligned, and especially the way independents are, is a little different this time in starkly more partisan polarization.
The poll found that voters have a more negative view of Elon Musk, who has a 41% favorable to 53% unfavorable rating. Among independent voters, Musk fares even worse, with just 29% viewing him favorably to 58% unfavorable. The poll is among registered voters in Wisconsin and has a slight Republican lean in its sample. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Wisconsin gets the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. The Badgers beat the Gophers in Minnesota. Matt LaPay on the Badgers radio network.
Inbounds pass to Tanjay. They'll let him dribble out the clock, and the Badgers make it 9 straight against Minnesota as the Badgers win it by 7. Final score tonight, Wisconsin 74, Minnesota 67.
John Blackwell with 25 points. The Badgers 21 for 24 from the free throw line. That's the best in the nation. Great guard.
You know, you get on the road, the fact that we were able to really be solid with the ball the second half and get to the free throw line was really important.
Marquette with a loss at UConn, 72-66. The Golden Eagles host number 6th ranked St. John's on Saturday. NBA, the Bucks over the shorthanded Mavericks, 137-107. Giannis scoring his 20,000th career point.
20,000 points is, obviously when I go on the court, I'm a competitor, I'm going to compete, that's who I am.
It's Giannis Antetokounmpo with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Bright and beautiful today, but still a bit breezy with winds out of the west gusting around 25 miles per hour and high temperatures climbing to the upper 30s. We'll become partly cloudy tonight with lows in the mid-teens, and tomorrow, plenty of sunshine and highs right back to where they are today. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Right now, it's 35.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Let's talk about an ugly word, debt. I'm Navy veteran Phil Briggs, and at my lowest point, I was drowning in credit card debt until I turned to Navy Federal Credit Union. Their cash rewards and cash rewards plus cards now offer a 0% intro APR on credit card balance transfers for 12 months. So dominate your debt with Navy Federal Credit Union, where our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. After the intro rate expires, variable APRs are 14.9% to 18% based on credit worthiness. Rates are subject to change. ATM fees for cash advances are up to $1 at non-Navy Federal ATMs. Offer ends March 31st, 2025.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. That is coming your way. Also, Pete Schwabba from Nightlight will join us to talk about the killer flaw in that movie Green and Gold. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Remember when people who worked for Donald Trump in his first administration would actually tell the man no when he proposed to do something that was patently immoral, illegal, or just didn't make any gosh darn sense. Remember when he told the DOJ to go after Time Warner Cable and Gary Cohn walked out of the meeting and told everybody that was in there, if you do one damn thing, you're going to get fired. Right. Don't you blankety blank dare was the message.
Well, he knew he would forget after a little bit, right? And if he didn't do it.
That
right?
was part of what was said. I mean, we've got President Whiplash here, folks. If you're right. just tuning in, yep. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We got quite a hot discussion going on this afternoon with my great co-host Tom Paulswitz, Navy vet, two-time congressional candidate, small business owner, and all-around reasonable man, President Whiplash.
Yes.
Tariffs, yay, tariffs, but not tariffs on auto parts. And then, I guess not tariffs on Mexico or Canada either for 30 days. What's going on? This is nuts. There's an enemies list, but there's not. And all my appointees say they'll be apolitical, but then they fire all the FBI agents and force out all the U.S. attorneys that had anything to do with Donald Trump's cases, even though they were just following orders. You'll be rich day one, but I'm going to put a sales tax on all the stuff that the middle class likes to buy. The constitutionality of things getting flip-flopped every other day. We're going to end all these wars, but not.
Yes.
This is the good one. This is the one that I constantly have such a problem about. Almost every single elected Republican at some point in time, including Donald Trump, has said things like, we're going to cut entitlement programs. And then like a day later when someone's like, by entitlement programs, do you mean Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security? You want to cut those?
No,
then they'll say, no, I don't. You just said, do they think Americans don't know what an entitlement program is? Or non-discretionary spending? That's all just one. As soon as you hear that, think Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Van Orden, I'm never going to cut the food assistance program because I received it, except I'm all for the $880 billion that has to come out of the House Committee on Energy and Commerce.
Which is not food assistance, right?
It's just ridiculous. How about this one? We're going to go after the deep state, but I'm going to hire only people that are personally loyal to me and have no actual job qualifications. Right. That is the definition of the deep state. And then this one. The deficit is bad, but trillions in tax cuts for billionaires and the world's wealthiest corporations. It doesn't make it
sense. Logical.
It has
but
no
Maggie,
logic.
Maggie, you got to remember, though, we're participants in the Trump show. So you remember the Truman Show, right? We're all just participants in the Trump show. And the Trump show is all about ratings, right? So when he says something that gains traction, he continues.
He
with
just
it.
Goes I mean, with it.
Greenland,
I'm getting clicks.
Panama, 51st state of Canada. I mean, it's crazy, right? This is just crazy stuff. Never mentioned, like you said, in the campaign itself, but just stuff that pops into his head because he's brilliant and he surrounded himself with sycophants who are going to follow
everything.
Just
say yes. Yeah.
But one of the most fascinating comments the other day was Scott Fitzgerald at his town hall said that I'm just a rank and file member of Congress. I don't get to ask what's really going on. Was paraphrasing what he said. And I'm like,
are you kidding me?
Can you like that's and like
I'm
job.
I'm not going to have any town halls because people are mad at me. Right. You know, no, that's when you actually need to show up and listen. Folks, join our conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Anne from Chippewa Falls, you're up next, miss.
Yeah. Am I on right now?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, sorry. Yes, we can't take care of our veterans, our homeless people. People are sick, but we have billionaires saying tear it all down. While they live big, I don't understand how people can't see this. If our country breaks down, who is to say we won't be attacked? And why would anyone want to fight for this country? I'm a veteran. My son-in-law is a veteran. He's 99% disabled. Do the people that call in know that these are young men that have issues, whether it's PTSD, whether it's hearing loss? He was around a burning pit. One of his army buddies died of pancreatic cancer. Do you think people are going to want to fight for this country when they're just shoved aside like this? I why aren't everybody thinking about this? And I can't believe that there's more Republicans that are closer in making the amount of money that these yahoos were cheering for the other night when Trump was talking. It was like he was having a rally. It wasn't even about talking about what he's going to do for working class people.
Well, because he's not going to do anything for working class people. He's going to tax you through the Trump tariff tax. And he's going to take all that money and give billions in tax cuts to billionaires. Jeff from Superior, our conservative friend on the text line. And Jeff, please do feel free to give us a call, 855-752-4842. Jeff had two thoughts. Our bureaucracy is too big and replete with waste, fraud, and abuse. And his second comment was Donald Trump won the popular and electoral college vote. He is doing the will of the people. I want to take the second comment first. There are over 300 million people in the United States. There's something like 220 odd million people that are voters who are citizens and reached voting age. Donald Trump got 79 million votes. It's not even anywhere close to half, Jeff. Correct. So it's not the will of the people. That is how the election turned out. I don't sit up here and say he's not my president. He is my president, though I didn't vote for him. What I'd like Donald Trump to remember is that he actually represents all of us, not just the people that voted for him. He doesn't need to only answer to the billionaire donor class. He needs to answer to the middle class. That's what I hope our president can do. And what I think was going on in this election, in this past election cycle, is that people, and maybe Jeff, you're one of them, you look at things and you think, I'm getting screwed. This isn't working well for me. And my response to you, sir, is you got that part right. You absolutely did.
Yep.
And but we're directing our anger at one another, at work, other working people, other folks that are struggling to get by. When the problem is the rot and corruption in government, which comes from the idea that money is speech and that billionaires should be able to buy politicians, Jeff.
Yeah, and I'll add on to that, Maggie, that it's really we should be looking for corruption, not waste and fraud. If we really cared about waste and fraud, we wouldn't have cut all the investigators generals from all their positions, right? But the beginning part is the corruption is what's really costing us at the end of the day, because what we're not getting for our tax dollars is the most efficient and most effective form of delivering, especially our safety net and the things that we truly need. There are lots of great people, though. But Maggie, you and I talked about this before, right? The level, the amount of money we spend on people in government is less than 10% of the overall government budget.
Say that again, loud, so that they can hear you in the back. Real slow, Tom. Right. Say it again, please.
The amount that we spend on people when it comes to the federal government is less than 10% of the overall budget. More than two times that we spend on contractors, because we've started to move things away from, and because the number of people we employ now as a percentage of the population is down significantly from wherever it's been over the last 70 years. And in addition to that, if it really was about waste and fraud, we'd be looking for waste and fraud, not just going in and breaking things and claiming we found waste and fraud. Everything that Musk has found so far that he's claiming is fraud is not fraud. They're all
lying. It has been found before and yes. identified. For example, all this yes. baloney about Social Security and people over 150 years right. old. Guess what? You ask someone from the Social Security Administration that actually was responsible for this data set. They're like, anyone right. that's ever received a Social Security check is in the data set. That's why yes. they're not receiving checks. They right. audit this stuff. Like, again, it is completely fine, Jeff, to say, let's be more efficient, let's be more effective. But simply because someone says that that's what they're doing doesn't right. mean that that's what they're doing. We should be able to check the math and actually go through those systems. We don't have that information. There's been no facts presented. And if they were actually finding it, Jeff, you don't think that stuff would be on the front page of the paper every yeah. damn day? Right. That it would and be the more, cry on Fox News all day long. Oh,
my goodness, right. One more comment for Jeff, too, though, is Jeff, be mad. Also be informed. Mm. Don't listen to just one source. Listen to more sources. Go find out. Do the research. All government spending is publicly available. You can sort through it all yourself.
Tyler,
educate yourself.
Tyler from Wisconsin, Rapid says, in the future, will a clown, a clone be developed in the U.S. be able to hold office? Fair question. From WMDX, a new-ish texter, this Trump administration doesn't care about veterans any more than they care about a baby once it's born. They talk a big game about supporting our troops, but once veterans are back home, the promised care and support often fall by the wayside. It's the yep. same attitude they show towards babies. Politicians focus on birth and the moment the child enters the world, but after they're here, the long-term care and well-being of both veterans and children seem to be forgotten in the pursuit of other political agendas. Well said, my friend. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Jack from Merrimack. You've been very patient, sir. Say hello to Tom. What are your comments this afternoon?
Hey, Megan. Tom, hello. Going back to about 1980, I think, when Reagan made his the government is not the helper, it's the problem speech. Republicans, it seems, have had this philosophy, let's break the government and destroy as many services as possible, and then we'll be able to say, look, the government doesn't work, so it's bad. And yes. they continue. This is just the ultimate final end game of that process. Now,
we gotta put a pin in it right there, Jack. I want to reemphasize Jack's point. Republicans for 20 plus years, maybe going back to Nixon time, so many more years than that, have systemically attacked the basic functions of government. And then complain that government isn't working well. We do have our good friend Jeff from Superior on the line. We're going to talk to Jeff and every single one of you that are still on the lines. Ali, Mark, and Whistler from Richland Center all coming up on our phone lines right here on the Maggie Gaughan Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got Tom P. in the house. Join this great discussion. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Keep it locked, everybody.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion?
With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We remember the legacy of Val Phillips, the trailblazing civil rights leader, is also the first African-American woman elected to the Wisconsin State Assembly. Phillips was born in Milwaukee, and though she faced both racial and gender barriers, she remained strong in her fight for equality. She helped pass groundbreaking laws to desegregate public housing while also fighting for voting rights. Her courage and determination wasn't just for Wisconsin, but for the nation. And Phillips' legacy continues to inspire those who believe in justice, showing that one voice can spark change. These are the stories continuing to inspire all of us every day. And as we honor them, we will also recognize the powerful women who are still writing history. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back if you're rejoining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got a great discussion going on this afternoon. We're talking about whether or not Trump is basically the whiplash president with absolutely no discernible approach other than handouts to billionaires, subsidies for the world's largest corporations, and basically screwing the middle class for all intents and purposes. Markets down yet another day in a row. You can just look at his tariff policy. We had tariffs, but not tariffs. Tariffs in February and then not tariffs until March. And now tariffs today, but not to, oh, tariff. No. Do you know how bad this is for business? Like they have to redo all of their systems to account for this additional costing and then shut it off. The idea that this is going to bring manufacturing back to the United States, I've got a couple of things. One, that would take years.
Yes.
Two, most companies, if they are manufacturing in, I don't know, say Mexico, are paying pennies on the dollar for the labor in Mexico. What they're going to do is automate absolutely everything that they possibly can so that they don't have to hire as many American workers. And that's if they can build it in the United States in what, 3-4 years maybe?
Yeah, just like the CHIPS Act, it's like we have to help build the infrastructure to get companies to want to manufacture in the United States. Like we have to offer incentives. We have to do a whole bunch of things to try to get it to come back. And even still, it's hard to do.
Ali from the Northwoods, say hello to Tom. What's your comment?
Hi, Tom. I am mad as the heck at the Trump and Vance and Elon Musk for cutting the veterans' schooling and health care and jobs. My dad was joined the Army when he was 17 years old and served for 22 years. And he had a wife and 4 kids that he carried pillar to post to serve the Army. And that same thing is happening today. Those families and those vets deserve better than the way they're being treated. And they get this slap in the face. Well, yep. Yesterday or the day before, Vance and Kristi Noem were supposed to go to the border to secure the border by using serving military. Why? They disrespect the vets, yet expect the new military to do their work that they were elected to do.
All good points, Ali. Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for your family's collective service. When one member of your family serves, so does everyone else. Want to bring our friend Jeff from Superior on. Jeff, thanks for participating. Thanks for calling in. Say hi to Tom, and please go ahead, make your comment, question, or whatever you'd like to share this afternoon.
Well, hello, Tom, and thank you, Maggie. You know, you're making me feel more important than I am. I'm only one person with one opinion, but I love a debate. I miss this.
I got to tell you,
as an American, when I went to college, I loved the debates. We had people on all sides of the issue, socialists and libertarians. And I enjoy the banter, and you know, I think it moves us forward as a country.
Yes.
And I would say absolutely. That a lot of the things I hear you guys say, I wish you would run it through the prism of the Constitution. You have to ask yourself, was the bureaucracy created with regard to the Constitution? Yes, they were able to form the Federal Reserve and all that. We've had that for the past 100 years, and now we got deficit spending. Well, we need to think of our future, because our country, you know, our survival is dependent on it. So a lot of the things that Democrats feel are probably unconstitutional. For example, abortion. There's no right in the Constitution for a woman to kill her baby. That's not a federal right. That's not a constitutional right. So, I mean, we need to run these
Jeff, issues. Let me just pause for a second on that one. Jeff, would you grant me that it would be highly unlikely for that kind of right to be written into a legal document that was written by only men?
Oh, well, yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think you're right.
Okay.
Do you also agree with me that many specific kinds of rights and or provisions that lots has been read into the Constitution, not just to benefit women, where, for example, interracial marriage, that doesn't appear in the Constitution, and yet that is recognized, and the laws that forbade that were found to be unconstitutional. So that there's a whole area of things that we don't see explicitly addressed in the Constitution, and yet our courts over time have found that meaning in the Constitution as it evolves and needs to be interpreted given technology and our changing views on, for example, women and people of color. If we read it just like it was written back then, well, black folks wouldn't be voting, interracial marriage would be illegal, and exactly. I wouldn't be voting.
There was no proclamation to build a superhighway system throughout the United States in the 1700s because it didn't exist then. I mean, Jeff, your argument is part of it is it ignores a changing world. And so how does a changing world fit into the viewpoint that you have about constitutionality?
Well, this is exactly why we need to defend our three branches of government. And that's why I'm a big defender of what the founding fathers did. And I don't disagree with the Supreme Court making decisions, you know, in the Dred Scott decision or Brown versus Board of Education. Those kind of decisions are evolving. And that's why I defend the three branches of government. But
what do you think, Jeff? Let's just ask a question about that. What do you think about the Supreme Court's recent decision that a president is immune from acts that are, quote, official during the course of his duties? I want to ask you that. I want to ask you, what do you think about Donald Trump declaring that there is no birthright citizenship? What do you think about this completely expanding role and this concept of the unitary executive? There was an implied balance of powers. The weakest branch was always supposed to be the judiciary. Let's talk more, Jeff. When we come back, we're going to take a very quick break. We're going to take more of your comments and questions, continue this great discussion with Jeff and each and every one of you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We got Tom Polsowitz and all of you this afternoon right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
organic farmers have a new marketing opportunity. I'm Stephanie Hoff, and you're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. Just last week, Naturally Wisconsin launched in partnership with the Food Finance Institute. Executive Director Jamie Valenti Jordan says Naturally Wisconsin is a tool for the organic industry to network and showcase its products. He has the details.
Naturally Network is a kind of an expression of this need to partner together in order to support the natural products industry, most commonly in the food industry, honestly. And so what Naturally Wisconsin is intended to be is an opportunity for us to bring all of the resources that are here to support both our farmers and our entire supply chain through the natural products ecosystem to help us to be better business partners by making these one-on-one relationships and understanding each other as people above and beyond our businesses that we represent alone.
Naturally Wisconsin just opened on February 27th. Executive Director Jamie Valenti Jordan recommends checking it out through the Food Finance Institute.
Well, hold on to your britches, everybody. It's time to go nuts at the Springfield Corners Testicle Festival. March 8th, you can enjoy deep-fried delicacies along with ice-cold beverages and live music by the Lights Out Band. Join me, the fabulous Farm Babe, along with the rest of the Midwest Farm Report team at Springfield Corners for your chance to win concert tickets and to try some fried Rocky Mountain oysters. It all kicks off after 2 p.m. on March 8th. Springfield Corners. See Facebook for more details.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation.
We're seeing grain markets bounce back from yesterday. On the close Wednesday from Chicago, cash corn is up 4.25 cents at 4.55 3/4, but December new crop corn is sitting neutral at 4.46 3/4. Cash soybeans are up 12 3/4 cents, closing at 10.11 3/4, and November new crop beans are up 6 cents at 10.09 1/2. Class 3 milk contracts continue to fall. The April Class 3 milk contract is down 24 cents at 17.35 a hundredweight, and the May contract is down a penny at 17.77. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese, which was mixed on the close. Barrel cheese down 2.5 cents at $1.70 1/2. The 40-pound block cheese up a penny at $1.61 1/2. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Bright and beautiful today, but still a bit breezy with winds out of the west gusting around 25 miles per hour and high temperatures climbing to the upper 30s. We'll become partly cloudy tonight with lows in the mid-teens, and tomorrow, plenty of sunshine and highs right back to where they are today. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Right now, it's 35.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, making the popcorn pick of the week will be Civic Media's own Todd Alba. And then Northeast Wisconsin singer-songwriter Paul Hanna joins me in the studio. I'm telling you, don't miss this.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back if you're rejoining us. Happy Friday Eve. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined this afternoon by my special guest co-host who joins me every Thursday. He's Tom Paulswitz. We're having a discussion about Donald Trump, the whiplash president. What's your favorite flip-flop? I mean, it's only been, what, like 6 weeks? There's so many flip-flops. Right. We've got a lot of great callers and texters. You can join our discussion, 855-752-4842. What's your great cognitive dissonance where Donald Trump says, I love farmers, but I'm going to put these tariffs on that are going to devastate family farms. Yes. I'm going to gut the USDA and crush small farms in Wisconsin. What's your favorite contradiction? There are so very many. 855-752-4842. I love the middle class, but here's tax cuts for billionaires and the world's wealthiest corporations. I can't
tax
make
cuts
it make
will
sense.
Pay for themselves.
Right. They don't.
Yeah, right. We all know.
We're all big deficit hawks, and we need to worry about this because our country's going to go bankrupt. But I will strip the employees of the IRS who generate way more income than they cost by ensuring that rich people actually pay what they owe. We'll have the lowest effective tax rate in two generations in make it make sense. 855-752-4842. Wanted to bring back our friend Jeff from Superior, a fine gentleman, having a great discussion with Tom and I this afternoon. Jeff, you said you're a defender of the Constitution. You believe in the separation of powers in Articles 1, 2, and 3. So, Jeff, what do you think about what is, by any, I think, good faith estimation, an incredible power grab by this president?
Well, my favorite quote from Ronald Reagan is, the purpose of government is to protect us from each other. And I think he, as an executive, chief executive, as president, he's right on. He's got his finger on the button of what should motivate us as a country with regard to our separation of powers. My favorite quote from FDR is the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. I think when a person is president of the United States, you're the point guard of our government. And the judicial branch and legislative branch takes their direction from a chief executive. And
but that's not actually true. Jeff, that's not actually true. The legislature determines how we spend money, which many of us would argue is the real power of government. Yes. It is in how we decide to expend our revenues. That is not a presidential power. That is an Article I power, full stop.
Yep, in the Constitution. So, Jeff, what you're saying is you're okay with President Trump overstepping his constitutional authority because you agree with what he's doing.
Well, he has a responsibility to put fiscal responsibility on the table.
That's not the question, Jeff. The question is are you good with him overstepping his constitutional authority because you agree with what he's doing?
Well, was it appropriate for Biden not to enforce
that? We're not talking about President Biden. We're talking about President Trump right now, this minute. Do you agree that it's okay for him to overstep his constitutional authority, being a constitutional person yourself, because you agree with what he's doing?
I think what he's doing is within his constitutional authority.
But that's not true, otherwise we wouldn't be in the court.
I mean, Jeff, hang on a second. Court after court after court after court, including the Supreme Court this week, have said he's not acting within his constitutional authority.
Okay, so who enforces the law?
The executive branch. But the executive branch does not get to decide the law.
Yes.
Okay, so it's okay for Biden to...
But Jeff, my point is that a president, his first oath is to defend the Constitution and the law. Courts will find that a president unintentionally violated the law or exceeded their authority. This president is saying, you can't check me. He has tweeted this. If I declare it to be, it is legal. That is what the man tweeted. That's not what the Constitution says. So I'm going to return to Tom's question. Are you okay with a president intentionally breaking the law, intentionally exceeding his constitutional authority, because you agree with what he's doing.
Well, he has the right to free speech.
But, Jeff, come on now. All right, we got to move on.
We're going to take that as a yes.
From just a few moments ago, a federal judge has ordered reinstatement of NLRB board member Gwen Wilcox and said this about Trump. He fundamentally misapprehends his role under Article 2 of the Constitution. The judge continued, quote, a president who touts an image of himself as a king or dictator, perhaps as his vision of effective leadership, fundamentally misapprehends his role. Exactly what Jeff just said, per a federal court judge, is a fundamental misapprehension of our Constitution. Wow. There you have it. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Whistler, who's been very patient from Richland Center. Thank you for your patience, sir or ma'am. And please say hello to Tom. Whistler, you there?
Well, I'm here.
Go ahead, sir.
I'm here. Hi, Maggie.
Hi.
Hi, Maggie. First of all, it's W-I-S-L-A-R, not W-I-Z-Z-L-A-R. Anyway, whatever. I'm standing here looking at a certificate of appreciation signed by President Nixon for my service in the military. But anyway, this whole thing with Trump and what's happening to us veterans and us Americans, are people. People are being interfered with in their daily lives, and it hurts. I have... you know who John Lithgow is?
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
John Lithgow wrote 3 books about Trump. Well, you know, you have to read Adam Jason Moon, another veteran from the Iraqi wars, the warrior's thought.
Yeah, I think... looking to some of the people who have served this country and who are writing about Donald Trump, those are voices we want to elevate, like the gentleman we just had on. We had a little bit of a hard time hearing you, sir, so I apologize for that. Folks, you want to join my conversation with Tom Paulswitz, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I want to take an angry texter, a conservative texting in. You are ignorant communists who only bring this stuff up when it serves you. All the liberal judges overstepping their boundaries and circumventing the law. Again, it seems to me that we call judges activists only when we disagree with what they're doing. Was it not judicial activism for the Supreme Court to overturn a case that had stood for nearly 50 years protecting a woman's right to control her body? Is that not judicial activism? Sir, I refer you to the work of Stephen Vladek. He is a law professor at Georgetown. He will tell you that in his analysis, this Supreme Court, since Donald Trump's last appointees were put on the court, has taken more power than any other Supreme Court in the entire history of the country. Check it out. That's an activist court. If you want to criticize liberal judges, then let's criticize the Supreme Court for those same things.
Also, another really good point, Maggie. We're not communists.
Yeah.
We're not communists.
Thank you.
Just wanted to make sure that's known.
Cornell from Merrill, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. Please say hello to Tom. What's your question or comment this afternoon?
Well, Maggie, Tom. Well, I'm a Vietnam era veteran, and I've had excellent care at Wausau Clinic. They cured my skin cancer. I had a bad fever. I had to go to the hospital. They cured that. And a month ago, I couldn't walk, and I had a bad foot ankle, and they gave me a nice foot ankle brace, and it's just outstanding. I'm just quite upset that he's cutting the veterans, and I just hope that people will speak out and for that care. But what I'm upset with is I'm very upset with what Trump is doing. He's cutting off all aid from Ukraine, and
yes,
he's siding with Putin. And I strongly believe that we have a communist president. It's terrible.
Cornell, thanks so much for your service. Thank you for your call. I think, again, I marked last Friday as a day that will live in infamy. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump's bear hug of an authoritarian dictator who assassinates political enemies, suppresses the free press, locks up political enemies, assassinates journalists, has stripped Russians of basic civil rights, is an abomination, and it is completely antithetical to the most fundamental principles that we have told ourselves that we hold most dear in this country. I think it will cost us all, not just because the world no longer considers us a beacon.
No.
But because it's going to end up costing us more from a taxpayer dollar perspective.
Right. These decisions are all short run. And they're all going to hurt in the long run, you know. But in addition to that, him wanting to now potentially deport the 250,000 Ukrainians that are here now,
correct? Revoking their asylum status. Yep.
Him wanting to realign NATO to be if you've paid your dues, then you fall under protection. If you haven't paid your dues,
no protection for you.
We're not probably coming to your aid.
Our conservative friend on the text line says, just like Zelensky declared martial law to remain in power, sir, I suggest you read up, sir or ma'am, I suggest you read up. Ukrainian law stated if they are in an active military war and conflict, elections are suspended. That is what the law said before Zelensky took office. He has a higher approval rating now than he did when he took office. Those
he
are
has also
facts.
Said he will step down if that's what it takes for the United States to continue to negotiate a fair and peaceful solution to this war.
A just peace, not peace at any price. Peace. A just Correct. Peace. And by the way, this person who not true. Okay. I mean, either you're right or we're right. I suggest you read a little bit, like a Google or two might help here.
The facts are correct. The facts are correct.
There are actual observable facts. That was the law before Zelensky took office. Also saying that we are communists. I would encourage you, friend, to give us a call. Give us a call. Let's define communism, and then Tom and I can talk about it.
I'd love to know why we're communists, because I'm pretty sure I'm not a communist.
Small business owner? I don't think so.
I run a business like that, yeah.
Let's see if we can squeeze in one more call. Ken Bob from Dailyville, you've been very patient. Go ahead, friend.
Hi. Thank you very much. It's a great show. Earlier, you were talking about the whole nonsense with the tariffs not making any sense. And it makes sense in one way. Insider trading. He's making the markets just turn. And his buddies are getting the word of when he's going to act sane about the tariffs. So then they can buy up and before that. And then the prices go back up and they sell. That's the old book. Jay Gould was an expert at it.
Ken Bob, we hadn't gotten into like the meat, the substance of the tariff discussion because our text and phone line's so hot this afternoon. Right. But I was going to make that exact point. Folks that short stocks, buy futures, et cetera, you tip a few people off. There are billions to be made with all of the chaos that Donald Trump can make at the drop of a hat, at whim.
But Maggie, I'm pretty sure the SEC will catch those people, won't they?
Well, not if it's stocked with a bunch of loyalists, right?
Or not stocked at all.
Right. Or just completely, you know, like shutting down the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which has saved and returned over $12 billion to American consumers. Get rid of that. We don't need that.
Corruption. We should be looking more at corruption than anything else at this point.
Folks, that's Tom Paulswitz. My name's Maggie Dawn. We're going to take your final thoughts and comments. I can't believe we're already here. It's the last segment of this Friday Eve show. Join us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Keep it locked. Time may change me, but I can't trace time. I said that time may change me, but I can't trace time.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Better begins with the way we live life together, the way we help each other, and the way we inspire and encourage one another. At Aspirus Health, better begins with our dedication to providing expert care that improves lives. establishing healthy families and healthy communities, yours and ours, for a lifetime. Life is a journey, and we're here for you. Better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. In a brief to the North Carolina Court of Appeals, a bipartisan group of former county election directors urged the court to reject a claim that as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible last November. And a former state Supreme Court justice is arguing in another appeals case that gerrymandering by the state legislature is akin to stuffing the ballot box. We followed the claims from state Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin that as many as 65,000 registered eligible voters had incomplete registrations in a race he lost by 734 votes to incumbent Justice Allison Riggs. The race is the only unresolved election in the country. In late February, a bipartisan group of 42 former county election directors filed a brief outlining why the voters should be considered valid and concluding the citizens of North Carolina who obey the laws and the direction of the elections administrators should not have their votes discarded. In another North Carolina case, former state Supreme Court Justice Bob Orr is arguing in state appeals court that the legislature's gerrymandered voting districts manipulate election outcomes. By packing voters by party into a district, he argues, it violates the state constitution's guarantee of free elections with a fair count. Orr told the Charlotte News and Observer, if they can't stuff the ballot box, how can they stuff the voter pool? We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Want to thank a number of conservatives who have been engaging with us on the YouTube channel. George, thank you for engaging. Our new texter from the 920, our friend Jeff from Superior. Listen, we got to be able to have these conversations. And yes, I know you like to call us names. I won't call you names. I'll just try to have a conversation. There were two other things that I wanted to mention very briefly that I've heard come up. The assertion that like executive power grants Donald Trump the right to cut off, for example, aid, which is what the Supreme Court this week said he didn't have the right to do, at least in a preliminary ruling. There'll be a full hearing and maybe they'll flip-flop on that. That is not true. Once an appropriation is made by Congress, he has to spend it. And by the way, or at least make a good faith effort to do so, there's a law about this. Congress actually passed an additional law about this. It's called the Impoundment Act because Nixon tried something like this before. Yes. So Congress went, no, you can't usurp our Article I authority. Right. They passed a law.
1974. Yes. 1974. Yes.
Yes. So, Steve from Madison, sorry I missed your call. He just wanted to say thank you to Tom. Great discussion this afternoon. And he also wanted to make the point that we often miss this kind of discussion when you listen to more right-wing radio.
Yes.
And let's see here. Oh, we've got our good friend Mark from Prairie du Sac on the line. Mark, go ahead. Thank you for your patience.
Yeah, what Jeff missed is the law shall be, he shall faithfully execute the law, make shall take care that the law is faithfully executed. The Ninth Amendment to the Constitution actually gives rights to people who are not enumerated in the Constitution.
Yes.
Madison, and I don't know what it was, like 44 or 45, where he said, the Congress might have to take action to promote the general welfare that is not enumerated in the Constitution. That I think this is a rejection of the policy that the South rejected when they rejected the principle of natural liberty, human equality, and the social contract, which the South so firmly objected to. Jeff brought up the Dred Scott decision, which actually said that black people are not even human beings, that they're equal to the, that of white human of white people. I mean, that's what Dred Scott was more about than just people were slaves, no matter where you took them. I mean, that read a little history, man. I mean, and I'm not a constitutional scholar, but I've actually been reading the Federalist Papers now, as Maggie knows, as Dom knows,
yes.
Because I get, nice. You know, I got accused of being a constitutional expert when I was at the.
I love it, Mark. I love it when you call awesome. And drop a little Federalist Papers reference yep. on us. It's good to go back to those things. We need to remind ourselves of all of those foundational documents. And by the way, all of our founding fathers, it wasn't a monolith. They right. didn't all agree. What they did was nope. get to like the minimum, the most essential pieces of what they could agree on. And they had varying views of many of the very issues that we're contending with today. My meta point, and Tom, I'd like to get your thoughts on this. My big picture point to people is this. You cannot approach this as if everything my team does is always good.
Yes.
And everything the other team does is always bad, or fill in constitutional or not, activists, terrible judges or not, or you're a communist or that's not helpful. What right. is helpful, I think, is to agree on the most basic values and principles. And then we can have a more principled discussion and argument, perhaps, about the how.
Yes.
But the idea, for example, that we're not, that of course we should cut 80,000 jobs from the VA because efficiency, when I haven't seen an analysis that shows me that that's actually going to create efficiency, when they haven't provided, why did they land on 80,000? Why not 80,001? Why not 81,000? Why not 50,000? Why not 100,000? This is my, let's agree, we owe veterans the highest standard of care. That's our value. Now let's argue about how to do that, how to make it more efficient on a taxpayer dollar. Tom, your thoughts?
Yeah, and I think we've already talked about this, but I'll bring it up again, that Donald Trump starts from a valueless position, right? He's transactional, and every transaction he wants to win. In fact, if he wins that transaction, he's found your weak spot, and he will come back and find another way to deal, to get more out of that transaction. You're seeing what's happening, the difference between Mexico in Canada, right? The guise is that tariffs are being instituted because of fentanyl coming into our country. Well, last I read, I think it was less than 1% of the fentanyl was coming over the Canadian border. And yet the tariffs for Canada are still in effect. And a lot of the ones for Mexico are being lifted because the Mexican president has figured out a way to tell Donald Trump what he needs to know. And Justin Trudeau has decided to be like Zelensky and say, I'm not kowtowing you. I'm not going to kowtow to your ego. And here's the weird thing, though, right? Donald Trump is not powerful because he's Donald Trump. Donald Trump is powerful because he's the president of the United States. He is taking that authority and abusing it in the current environment, because without that authority, he would not be able to do what he's doing. So a lot of times, and what's happening now, and you know, I said it before, is that Congress is not stepping up to say these are our things that we control constitutionally, not yours. And that's going to play out over the next 3 months, and it's going to be fascinating to see if they get this continuing resolution passed, what's going to happen next.
Tax cut for billionaires. Yep.
Right. The bigger picture is they're going to break more things, and it's going to have consequences.
Hey, Tom, what's in a Trump sandwich? Wait, we don't have time. I'll tell you. It's white bread full of bologna with Russian dressing and a small pickle. We're going to leave it there. Thank you, Tom Paulswitz. Thank you to all of you, including our conservative friends. You're always welcome on this program. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together. Dom Salvia is up next.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Brady Ewing will be here, former fullback for Wisconsin football, to talk mental health and athletes and also the relationship with on-air announcers like Bill Rafferty of CBS. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties invites all women to join us for the 13th annual Power of the Purse, Tuesday, March 12th at Bullseye Golf Club from 5 to 7:30. Power of the Purse is a fundraiser to support early grade literacy hosted by Women United. There will be a purse silent auction, raffles, and great food. All thanks to our diamond sponsors, Alliant Energy, Kinexus Cares, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Paul Gross Jewelers, Walker Cranberry, and Williams Plumbing and Heating. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit us at uwswac.org or call 715-421-0390. We hope to see you at Power of the Purse.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. President Trump is now pausing tariffs on Mexico and Canada. Linda Kenyon at the White House.
The executive orders include an official suspension of trade tariffs on some Canadian goods. The pause until April 2nd includes cars and auto parts from Canada. The president says this will make trade more favorable for American car companies. A similar suspension of tariffs was granted for goods from Mexico.
The markets were off all day because of concerns about tariffs. The Dow finishing 427 points lower. Brian Keel of Farmers for Free Trade says the tariffs are already having an impact.
China has put 10% tariffs on U.S. soybeans, 15% tariffs on U.S. corn. That means our products are less competitive in those markets, which means we sell less of those products.
Canada's prime minister says despite the U.S. pause, his country will not lift its retaliatory tariffs. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.